All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gym Fear 138 podcast. Now, I'm really sorry that I didn't get one up last week. It was kind of busy around here, just IRL stuff going on. Also, our AC broke down, and it was like 90 degrees in the house. But I'm not joking. It actually got up to like 90 degrees in the house. The only saving grace is that we have fans in just about all of the rooms that people, actually hang out in. Except for the kitchen, which, you know, might be useful to have a fan in the kitchen. I don't know. I should probably crack this beer before I keep going on about stupid shit. Anyway. So yeah, I had a bunch of IRL stuff going down. You know, didn't really feel like hotboxing myself to edit, because, you know, yeah, I have these noise-canceling headphones that I have to use to edit, because, you know, earbuds just, they just don't work if you want to get actual good, a good idea of the sound of the audio file that you're editing. And usually, I mean, it's the podcast, it doesn't have to be all that professional, but I just didn't feel like, you know, hotboxing myself and you know, getting my body temperature up above 100 just to get a 2.5 hour podcast edited. So I need to work on my rambling. That would probably help. But you guys know me. If you've been listening for this long, we're at what? This is episode 53. If you've been listening this long, then you know I'm just, I have an uncontrollable fucking ramble. So a lot of shit went down. A lot of shit went down this week. Let me just get the sponsors list up here. First off, of course, I gotta, you know, it's the fucking 500 pound gorilla in the room. I got to talk about the Manchester bombing, you know, and it's horrible that this happened. I don't know anybody in Manchester. So, I mean, of course, I feel bad for the people who died and their family members and everything like that. But me sending out condolences on my social media isn't really going to do anything. You know, I highly doubt any of those people listen to this podcast either. I mean, if you do, if you somehow hear this, my heart goes out to you. But, you know, so far as that feel good, you know, oh, my condolences for the victims shit, I don't see the fucking point in doing that shit. It's just, you know, unless you know somebody who was affected by the bombing, you know, unless you're in contact with them either like personally or through social media, you coming out and doing all of this bullshit isn't going to do anything. Like, I'm caught up in that cycle, or I'm caught up thinking about that cycle that everybody, hang on, I can actually probably pull up the cycle itself. There's a dude throwing hot dogs at the X-Men. All right. That's weird. Yeah, this is it. Okay. So this is the kind of the cycle, the insane from the, this is from freerepublic.com. I'll put a link to the page if it will load and it actually has the fucking comic on it. Yeah, here it is. Emergency plan. This is like down, you got to scroll down a little bit. From freerepublic.com. This looks like somebody responding in the forum. But emergency plan, 10 steps in case of a terrorist attack in a European city. Number one, tearful cartoons. Number two, Facebook filter. This is a picture of Ralph from The Simpsons. You've probably seen this image going around somewhere with like a transparent French flag over his face and it says, I'm helping. Number three, politicians crying on TV. Number four, light up buildings like the Empire State Building and the Eiffel Tower. Number five, candlelight vigil. Number six, more refugees. Number seven, call those who want to stop it, bigots. Number eight, wait for the next attack. Number nine, repeat. Number 10, do nothing. Now, I've been thinking about this because this has been happening every single time that there's a terrorist attack, right? Every single fucking time, which is getting more and more frequent. So we're able to see this play out. This isn't like, okay, I understand that this image that I'm using right here to kind of describe this cycle is just an image meant to make fun of leftists for doing what they do. But the image would not be there if we did not see the response so often, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. So if we didn't see this response every single time that there was a fucking terrorist attack, then this thing would not exist. We got to see it this time with a couple of steps cut out. I didn't see a whole lot of tearful cartoons. I didn't see any Facebook filters. I saw some politicians on TV. Nigel Farage wasn't exactly crying, though. I don't know if any buildings were lit up. There's probably a candlelight vigil somewhere out in Manchester right now. And yeah, more refugees is the response. And I've definitely seen Step 7 call those who want to stop it bigots. So I just don't see the point in engaging in any real part of this little thing here. Like, you need to pretty much do the exact opposite of this if you actually want to affect change. So it's not that I don't care about the people who died in Manchester or their loved ones. It's that I want to stop that from happening to other people. And the way that you do that is not through expressing your condolences on social media. It is through actually taking action to fix the fucking problem. And that doesn't include any of these steps. Like, nothing in these steps that I have laid out here, or that this image has laid out for us, is actually going to stop it. And, like, once again, we see this all the fucking time. You know, back when Charlie Hebdo happened, or, you know, and pick your terrorist attack, Nice, you know, Manchester, all of this stuff. We see it every time. We have the cartoons, the filters on people's AVIs. That happened a lot last year. We had politicians crying on TV, you know, to act like they fucking care. The buildings were lit up. There were candlelight vigils. And then they were like, well, the response is obvious. We have to bring in more of these refugees because, you know, being accepting and loving, like Katy Perry says, is going to obviously solve this problem. Because it's not like, you know, it's not like opening our doors. I can say our doors, because America has done this too. We've just suffered less because of it, because we've let in fewer people. So opening up our doors and letting these people come in from these war-torn areas, because let's not pretend that Northern Africa is any kind of a, you know, a paradise on earth. You know, Libya is kind of a hellscape right now, because of what Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton did down there with Muammar Gaddafi, you know. So the Middle East is kind of a hellscape. North Africa is kind of a hellscape. I mean, last I heard about Sudan, they were in the middle of a fucking civil war. I don't remember how that shook down, but I can't imagine it ended well for anybody. Maybe the people who won the military victory. But us, as, like, Europeans and Americans, looking at this situation and going, this is horrible. We have to help the people who are non-combatants. We have to help the innocents in this situation. Let's open our doors and let's take these people in. Let's give them asylum until their region calms down, and then we can send them back. Well, it's been like 5 or 8 years now. How long has the refugee crisis been going on? Okay, so we have SyrianRefugees.eu/timeline/. Okay, third-party cookies, that's fine. I don't really care. I'm not in the EU anyway. So the timeline, 2011. The Syrian refugee crisis begins, this is from NPR. The Syrian refugee crisis begins, up to 5,000 refugees flee to Lebanon. The flow of Syrian refugees to neighboring countries begins in earnest in April 2011. This has been going on for 6 years, guys. 6 years. I was close. 5 to 8. 6 years. This has been happening. I'll put this SyrianRefugees.eu/timeline/ down in the show notes as well. This is not working. It's just not. It's self-evidently not. So we saw all of this going down back in, you know, 2011 and the following years, and we said, oh my God, this is horrible. Let's take these people in. Let's give them a safe place to live. And what did we get for it? Well, if Germany is anything to go by, Krauten T just released a video about, it was a response to Sean and Jen, who I'm not sure if they're controlled opposition, like Sargon says, but they're certainly stupid. But he was responding to a response of theirs to him, in which they tried to fudge the numbers on some arson statistics in Germany. And he actually got a hold of the numbers for the year that they're talking about, and broke it down and broke down German arson law and everything like that. Very informative video. I highly recommend you guys go check it out. I'll put that one in the description as well. But Kraut, he demonstrates that this did not happen at the level that it's happening before, until Germany started letting in all of these Somalis and North Africans and, you know, Middle Easterners, essentially. It did not happen before then. You know, like Stefan Molyneux says, if you bring in the third world, you get the third world. They don't magically become first worlders. you know, and it's not anything to do with their race. That's stupid. It's the environment that their people grew up in. You know, if their people had grown up, it's like the IQ distribution thing. You know, IQ is very measurable. It's not perfect, but it's better than, you know, just letting it go and not worrying about this kind of shit. But, you know, when you look at these areas in the Middle East, like the average IQ around there is like 70, 80, something like that. Like just above functional retard. Just above. And, you know, a big part of that is Islam doesn't really have any kind of, you know, prescriptions on marrying like your first cousin or something like that. So there's a horrible, horrible inbreeding problem in Islamic countries. And that's going to lower the general IQ. You know, there's also other contributing factors in that. But when you have these low IQ populations, they're not going to suddenly, and this is just average IQ, you know, you can have people from these areas that are, you know, genius level. They're going to be rare, but they will be there. You know, you will have above average, you'll have like 1-2 standard deviations above the norm for that area. But when you bring the average person from these areas into a place like Germany or France that has, you know, a pretty high IQ average, they don't suddenly meet the average. They bring the average down because they're so far below the average. And they don't suddenly just come over here and adopt Western values and shit like that and start living peacefully with everybody like Katy Perry fucking wants us to. You have to institute naturalization programs. Like, immigration is not a bad thing. It's something that has to be controlled. It can be a bad thing when you let it get out of hand. So when you get people like Katy Perry coming and talking about how we need to just, oh, we need to open our arms and we need to have no borders and love will fix it. We just need to hug it out. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're ignorant and you don't have to deal with the repercussions of these policies that you're endorsing. You're just trying to seem like a good person. And we see through it. You're not a good person. If you were an actual good person, you would look at the data, you would look at the numbers, you would look at things like IQ, you would look at things like the drastic increase in terrorist attacks and rapes and sexual assaults and violent physical crimes and theft that happened in these countries like France and Germany and the UK before and after they started letting in all of these refugees. You would look at all of that, and then you would say, well, obviously the best idea isn't to keep letting these people in because they're ruining the lives of innocent people in the countries that they come to. You know, they're ghettoizing themselves. This is a big problem in the UK. There are areas in the UK where if you're white, you cannot go there. You cannot walk down a street without getting assaulted. I mean, fuck, a girl was, I don't know if this was recent, but it's a story that was recently going around. A girl walked into a kebab shop to ask for directions. And she was kidnapped and gang raped. She just wanted directions, and she was kidnapped and gang raped. You know, you have things like Rotherham going on, and people like Katy Perry just want to fucking ignore all of this. You know, so I'm not, like, us opening our arms, that was the nice. That was us being nice and trying to hug it out and trying to help people. It's time to not be nice anymore. Sometimes you have to institute tough love. And tough love right now is mass deportations, closed borders, and forced naturalization programs. You know, apparently, according to Karen Strawn, she recently did a stream with V. Monroe. I think he's just V now, like V-E-E-H. I'll link to his channel. I'll link to that talk in the description, because it started out talking about the Manchester bombing, I think. Or they were talking about something else. No, they were talking about Spinosauruskin and, you know, a couple of other things. And then it just, like, the Manchester bombing happened, like, as soon as they started the stream, and they had to they kind of diverged into that, and it went into this big conversation about Islam. But, you know, apparently in Canada, according to Karen Strawn, who's usually a very good source on these kind of things, they do have naturalization programs. You know, they force these people to de-enclave themselves. You know, you can't have these ghettoized communities where you all, you know, crib together in one area and you never learn the fucking language of the country that you're in and you act like this is still Saudi Arabia. No, you come to this country and you get worked into the general population and we force you to learn the language within like 2 years or you're going back. You know, we have people that will help you find a job and get off of welfare and things like that. And that is part of the reason that Canada has not seen the drastic amount of terror attacks that places like Germany and France do, because they don't have these programs. I mean, France, if France had these programs, then the half of the fucking French army would not have been in the streets of Paris right around the turn of the year. The most recent year, they would not have had half of the French army out there trying to curb attacks from these people and theft and, you know, sexual assault and things like that. That just wouldn't have happened because they would have been naturalized citizens by that point. It's been 6 fucking years. And I realize that not all of these people have been in the country for 6 years. But if they had these naturalization programs, it would be far less of a problem than it is. So yeah, you can do that, but it's going to take time. You can invite these people in and help them out, but it's going to take time to help them become naturalized citizens of wherever they are refugeeing to. And part of the problem is Islam. So this is why I didn't engage in any of that. I gave it like 2 days, or, you know, a day and a half, 2 days before I started talking about it. You know, it happened and I read a lot and listened to a lot of people talking about it, and I just kind of kept shut about the whole thing. Maybe I retweeted some stuff. I don't know. You know, I'm on Twitter a lot. I can't remember every single thing that I retweet, but I'm not about to come out here and act like me giving my condolences to people I don't even know, you know, just to seem like a good person on Twitter or Tumblr or whatever, is going to change anything. What's going to change stuff is informing people. You know, is talking about the problems in, you know, the Middle East and North Africa, and talking about the problems inherent in Islam that makes it incompatible with Western civilization. Completely incompatible. It's obviously incompatible. You know, even when they come over here and they become naturalized citizens, they still want to have their Sharia courts and everything like that. And, like, ostensibly, I don't mind that. Like, Jewish people, like, I think Orthodox Jews and a couple of other sects of Judaism actually do have civil courts where they just administrate things in their community, and that's fine. But when there's a criminal act that has been, you know, perpetrated by a member of the community, they let the law of the land fucking handle it, because that's the law of the land's job, and they submit to that authority. You know, Islam does not have that same perspective. Sharia is a legal code, as well as a political philosophy and a moral code. You know, it's not just about governing Muslims. It has strictures in there for non-Muslims, which means if they take over a country, then they already know how you're going to be treated. And spoilers, it's not well. You know, like, there are laws in the Quran and the Hadith that state that, you know, if Muslims take over a country, then, you know, the Christians and the Jews, they can't repair their temples, they can't build them above the shortest mosque, so you can have a one-story mosque, and that sets the bar. All of the Christian temples and all of the Jewish temples have to be lower than that, which means all of the Christian and Jewish temples that are above that either become mosques or they get torn the fuck down. This isn't difficult to put two and two together here, but you still have all of these people coming out and obfuscating this and calling this Islamophobia. No, this is educating people. There's a problem here, obviously, and it's thrown into sharp relief with this Manchester bombing, because this wasn't enemy combatants here. This wasn't like walking into a hardware store and taking out some grown men of fighting age. These are little girls. They didn't do anything to you. They just wanted to go listen to Ariana Grande. And, you know, I don't give a fuck what your opinion about Ariana Grande is, okay? I'm not a fan. Don't care. That's not the point here. The point is that what Ariana Grande does, and if you want some more information on this, look up the channel Axe 17 Apologetics. Is it 13 or 17? It's Acts 17 Apologetics, run by a guy named, I want to say, David Wood. Yeah, David Wood. But he recently released a video after the Manchester bombing called Why Jihadis Attack Concerts, Understanding the Manchester Massacre. And in that, he lays out the Quranic scriptures that basically state that, you know, women are not allowed to sing. You know, singing girls and shit, that's illegal. That's not halal, you know, and using instruments is also halal. You're not allowed to use instruments in your music. You know, I mean, ISIS just killed a kid, like beheaded him for listening to Western music in like Syria. You know, he was beheaded for listening to Western music because it has instruments. That is against Allah's will, according to, you know, some cum-encrusted child fucker from 400 BC or 400 AD, you know? But, yeah, it's just, it's fucking ridiculous the way that these people will come out here and act like there's not a problem with Islam. You know, and once again, this is an opportunity to talk about this kind of stuff. But you get all of these people coming in here and saying Muslims are the real victims because Islamophobia, and people like me are going to come out here and talk about how Islam is a fucking problem and the refugees are a fucking problem, because they obviously are. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the Quran, if you look at all of the relevant verses, you know, if you look at the behavior of these people, if you look at crime statistics since these people started coming into these countries, it's obvious where the fucking problem is coming from. Quite obvious. But no, that's racist. That's racist. They're brown. They didn't know any better. You know, they can't learn any better. God forbid we expect them to have, you know, basic human decency. So we have the ability to come out here and talk about this, but, you know, nobody fucking wants to. Speaking of which, Morrissey from the Smiths, yeah, that Morrissey, he came out and had some very choice words for the Queen and the Mayor of London and Linda May. I think it's Linda May. Wrote on his Facebook page. Okay, maybe we can get to the, here we go. Okay, so this is what, no, I don't want to join Facebook, you fucking cretins. All right, this is from Morrissey, the lead singer of the Smiths. Celebrating my birthday in Manchester as news of the Manchester arena bomb broke. The anger is monumental. For what reason will this ever stop? Theresa May, that was it, not Linda May, Theresa May, says such attacks will not break us, but her own life is lived in a bulletproof bubble, and she evidently does not need to identify any young people today in Manchester morgues. Also, will not break us means that the tragedy will not break her, or her policies on immigration. The young people of Manchester are already broken. Thanks all the same, Theresa. Sadiq Khan says London is united with Manchester, but he does not condemn the Islamic State, who have claimed responsibility for the bomb. The Queen receives absurd praise for her strong words against the attack, yet she does not cancel today's garden party at Buckingham Palace, for which no criticism is allowed in the Britain of free press. Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham says the attack is the work of an extremist. An extreme what? An extreme rabbit? In modern Britain, everyone seems petrified to officially say what we all say in private. Politicians tell us they are unafraid, but they are never the victims. How easy to be unafraid when one is protected from the line of fire. The people have no such protections. Morrissey, 23rd of May, 2017. And he's absolutely fucking right. You know, when you've got Morrissey calling out your bullshit, when you've got Morrissey sounding like an extreme conservative, it might be time to rethink your fucking immigration policy. Just saying. Just saying. Like, we can see where all of these problems are stemming from, and the solutions are very obvious, but everyone wants to appear to be kind, good-hearted people. So they just keep doing the wrong fucking thing and slitting their own goddamn throats. You know, this kind of shit is why you're seeing a resurgence of the quote-unquote far right in Europe, because the Overton window in Europe has shifted so far to the left. Thanks, EU, by the way. That, you know, the conservative parties, the far right wing parties in Europe, make the far right parties in the US, like the actual right wing party, like the Republicans generally, look like the fucking KKK. You know, these people are like Democrat light in Europe, and like the conservative parties in Europe, they're like Democrat light. Like the Overton window has shifted so far that the far right for them means these people want to rethink their immigration policy and institute socialist healthcare and shit like that. It's insane. So you get people like Marine Le Pen, who's actually got like some really left wing policies, like her I think her economic policy and her health policy and stuff like that, very left wing. But when she goes to Iran and she refuses to wear the veil, and when she says that immigration is the problem and we need to stop it, oh, she's far right wing. She's an extremist. It's fucking pathetic. Europe, you need to sort your shit out. Hopefully Britain will actually do this now that they're getting out of the fucking EU. It's just, it's absolutely fucking insane to me. And, you know, like I say, that's why I don't engage in these fucking platitudes and these AVI filters on your social media accounts and go to candlelight vigils and, oh my God, they lit up the building. Let's just cry on TV. And, you know, no. We need to stop all of that. We need to stop all of that. And we need to take a good, hard look at the numbers and the statistics and figure out where the fucking problem is coming from, which is that's not a hard equation to do. Okay. Just letting you Europeans know, it's not difficult. You just have to be honest. Just saying. And then figure out what to do about it. And then actually implement those solutions and see if it doesn't help. You know, we've tried your way, left-wingers, your love, peace, rainbows, and butt sex. We've tried it your way for 6 full fucking years now. Okay? We have tried it your way. We have tried it Katy Perry's way. It's not working. Why don't you let the right wingers give it a shot? Just give it a shot. See what they do. Give them like 2 or 3 years and see what they do. You know, as long as they're not putting people in death camps or anything like that, let them go. Just let them run for a little bit. Loosen the leash and let them go and see if they actually fix the fucking problem. Oh, but you can't do that because then your hold on that shift in the Overton window might slip and everyone will realize exactly how fucking crazy you people are. I'm just waiting for the next one. Just waiting for the fucking next one at this point. You know, it's like Aaron Clary says, you know, why should I care? Why should I fucking care? It's going to happen. Like, these people made their bed. Now they're sleeping in it. And the bed is full of body parts and blood and viscera and shit and piss and brains. It's full of all of this shit. But these people chose that socialism. They chose that open borders. They chose that free movement through Europe. This is where it fucking got you. This is where it got your kids. It's only a matter of time until it happens again. It's only a matter of time. It's a countdown clock. It's a countdown clock that nobody is able to see. You know, nobody knows what the timer says. But it's going to happen again until you people get your shit together and kick these people out of your fucking countries. You know, there's places in like Saudi Arabia where they could go. You know, they have tents for natural disasters and shit just sitting out in the middle of the fucking desert that these people could go live in. Send them there. You know, and y'all need to tell Erdogan to fuck off. That man is holding like a million and a half, like a ridiculous amount of these fucking migrants in Turkey. Just threat, like literally telling the EU, give me what I want or I will just release these people into Europe. That's a fucking threat. That man is a dictator. You need to tell him to go fuck himself. And, you know, just set up guards along the border. Catch these people. Send them back to fucking Turkey. Let him be his fucking problem. You know, you can't make peace with a dictator like that, especially one who's wielding that big of a fucking club at you. You need to come with a bigger fucking stick. So just tell him to fuck off already. I don't understand why the EU is capitulating to this guy and doing all of this shit. Well, no, I kind of do understand it because, like, it's partially to do with gynocentrism because the men in Europe have become so feminized. And yeah, you can make fun of me all you fucking want, but you can't sit there and deny that men in Europe have given their women exactly what they wanted for decades now. Everything they wanted. And the women in Europe, who, you know, if it's anything like America, are the majority of voters, have decided that they want new men that will actually take authority over them. They want that authority, and if you, in Europe, don't step up and give it to them, they'll get it somewhere else. They'll replace you. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. When those Islamic preachers get out there on street corners and they say, you know, your wives and daughters will marry Muslims, they're not fucking around. That's the plan. So you need to either get a hold of this shit or just die out. Fuck, you might as well go ahead and kill yourselves. Just take, if you're not going to take a hold of this shit, you might as well just go ahead and slit your own fucking throats. That way they don't have to do it for you. They could just sweep in and take care of shit, clean your bodies out, and then build, you know, Europistan or whatever the fuck. You know? It's just a super fucked situation right now. And the men in Europe have to get a hold of this. Like, I was having a conversation with one of my left-leaning friends a while back. This is probably months ago at this point. But, you know, we were talking about, like, Eastern Europe and them getting, like, basically rolled the fuck over by Russia. And I'm like, well, you know, a lot of these Eastern European countries, their defense ministers are women. That might have something to do with it. And he's like, wow, you know, what the fuck, dude? And I'm like, what? What? Men have been doing war more often than women for millennia at this point. Like, that's men's job in, like, every single civilization that's not a complete shithole right now. Because it's just, it's proof. Matriarchal civilizations are shitholes, okay? They are. You know, you can't point to one purely matriarchal civilization that built up the extreme wealth that any European country or North American country has. You can't. There aren't any. They're living in fucking mud huts. Men do war better than women. It's just the way it is. It's a genetic thing. It has literally been bred into men from the beginning of the species. Every army in history has been primarily male. There may have been women in support roles. There may even have been a couple of women combatants. But every army in history has been primarily male. You know, oh, you might be able to say, oh, these revolutionaries in this country, when the Germans came through. No, 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 no. I don't even buy that. Like, the closest that you could come is the uprising in Warsaw, I think. I think that would be the closest you could come to a, you know, women taking an active part in battle would be the uprising in Warsaw, Poland in 1944, back when the Nazis invaded Poland. You know, it was this Jewish ghetto essentially that rose up and fought the Nazis, and they did all of this guerrilla warfare and everything. Sabaton wrote a song about it. It's a really good song. But that's the closest that you would come. And even then, that's like out of necessity, because that they knew that the fucking Nazis were going to kill them all. All of them. You know, it didn't matter if you were a woman, you were a Jew, they were going to kill you. So you might as well fucking fight and die alongside the men. You know, in the same, like almost the exact same situation happened in Paris, France, and you have the French war bride syndrome. Like, war bride syndrome is a real thing. You know, the women in France, the Nazis came through, killed all the fucking men, and then the women just fucked the Nazis. That's how it happened. That's what's happening in Europe right now. That's what's going to happen in, like, 10 years. You know, like I said, those Muslim preachers are not bullshitting you. Your daughters, possibly even your wives, will marry Muslim men. Because the Muslim men are the only ones coming in and exerting authority on them. They will kill them if they do not submit. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, Islam is exactly a walk in the park for men. It's not. That religion, that legal system, that everything is shitty to both sexes. Like, it's just like any other, you know, legal system. It's shitty to everybody. Just one sex gets the shit end of the stick more often than the other one does. But it's like Karen Strawn said, it would be a hard decision if I would, you know, if I had to be born in a Muslim country and I got the choice to be born man or a woman, it would be a hard fucking decision. And I would have to think for weeks before I could make it. Because, you know, if you're not at the top, you're probably going to be at the bottom. But that's what it is. That's what it is. So, yeah, I have a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about. But because my sponsor role has gotten so long, I'm going to try and break it up in between. So we've been going for about 40 minutes, probably closer to like 38 for you guys. But I'm going to break it up in between the topics. You know, go get another beer, go get a smoke, and then come back and talk about the other things that I wanted to talk about this week. You know, I'm sorry, guys, I don't really have a Pulp Revolution topic this week. There wasn't really, I wasn't really on Twitter enough to get caught up in any interesting discussions or anything like that. Although I did get called a weeb on YouTube, because I've been uploading my backlog of videos and podcasts and everything to YouTube, and I put up my Kokoro Connect review, and the first comment I got was some dude just going, "Weeb." I was like, "Yes, like, are you unfamiliar here? Have you been following along at home? You know, do you have any fucking idea who I am? Yeah, I'm a weeb. I've been a weeb since I was a little kid. I used to watch fucking Dragon Ball Z on Toonami back in the day. Shit, motherfucker." think you can make me feel ashamed for being a weeb. I fully admit I took Japanese in college for 3 years. Fuck you. So yeah, if you like what I do here and you want to help support me, there are a couple of ways that you can do that. So I'm just going to go through the books that we have available right now. And then I guess I'll get to the rest of it when I get to it. So first we have the Cat Kimbridge audiobooks. I did 6, 7, and 8 in the series. I did 7 first, then 8, then 6, because he had some other guy doing 6, and I got 7 and 8 done, you know, in less time than it took this guy to not even get back to him about doing 6. So I was just like, do you want me to do it? And he went and contacted the guy and got the book freed up, and I went and took care of the book. So there's going to be an appreciable audio difference between 6 and 7. Not terrible. You know, I still took good care with my audio back then. I just knew more when I did 6 than when I did 7. So it's like the steadily increasing audio quality. So that's the Cat Kimbridge audiobooks. You can find those on my blog. If you go to just my main page, just jimfear138.blogspot.com, and look over at the right, you will see these books in little ads on the side of the blog. There will be 6, 7, and 8 right there. And those will take you to the Audible page where you can buy them. And I do get royalties off of those. I think it's like something like 35-40%. But it's good deal. It's very good books. I enjoyed recording them immensely. I started this series with 7. Because I'm not really picky about the jobs that I do. Like, if you want to hire me to do book 5 in a fucking series, I'll do book 5 in a fucking series. Just send me any of the notes that you have, because I'm not going to go read the other 4 books before I do yours. I don't have time. I'm too busy. So, you know, my interpretation of the characters might be a little bit different than the guys who came before. But I started this series with book 7, and it's so good that I went and read book 8 for him, and then I went back and I bought the rest of the series in audio to get a feel of what the other people who'd read these series had done with the characters and everything like that, but also because I just wanted to see where all this came from. It's just that fucking good. So don't feel bad for starting out at number 6. It's still 6 is still a very good book. A lot of fun too. I think that was Insurrection. Insurrection was a really good one. My favorite is probably Replicants number 8. But yeah, like I say, I like this series so much that I went and I bought the rest of them. So you can get those from Audible. They're also on my blog if you want easy access. You can just go ahead and get those there. Next up, we have the Dimension Bucket Media book catalog. I'm going to have to do a revamp of my store page because I also did another book for Aaron that I got to put up there. But we have Hell's 5-Minute Tales of Horror, which is a compilation of microfiction by Hell Richards. And it's got a really fucking cool cover. I still haven't gotten around to reading these because they haven't sent them to me yet. I haven't gotten my copies yet. I'm going to have to get in touch with Bucket about that. But yeah, that's from what I hear, it's very good. And the guy who told me that it's very good has never steered me wrong before. We have Dimension of Cobwebs, which is an anthology of short fiction from grandmasters in like the horror, sci-fi, and fantasy genre. So you've got like H.G. Wells, Bram Stoker, Edgar Allan Poe, H.P. Lovecraft, Frank Belknap Long, people like that. And these are just some of these are their lesser known stories, like The Sea Raiders by H.G. Wells, stuff like that. So if you want a really good curated classic weird fiction anthology, that's the book for you. That's the one you're looking for. I've also heard back from a friend of mine who actually went and bought it, and she says that the covers are very nice, which, I mean, I fucking knew that because I can see it from the pictures, but I haven't held it in my hand yet, so it's nice to get that kind of feedback. Next, we have Darkest of Dreams, which is an anthology of original short fiction by the Dimension Bucket crew. So that's 3 stories each by me, Nathan Dabney, JimFear138, 3 stories by Christopher Warren, a.k.a. Dimension Bucket, 3 stories by Connor Goff, a.k.a. Nightshade, and 3 stories by William Harmer, a.k.a. Gentleman Walrus. So we're all kind of veterans of the creepypasta scene. You know, Gentleman Walrus has been here for a while. Dimension Bucket and me started up a little bit. He started up a little bit before me, but we were almost starting up at the same time. Connor Goff, Nightshade, he wrote The Color White and a couple of other stories. So you might recognize some of our work. If you go and check my YouTube channel, you can still find it. It's in the Telling Tales Out of School playlist. But yeah, so if you want to read some good short fiction for a reasonable price, you can go check that one out. Next, we have A Man Upstairs, which is a collection of creepy verse by Christopher Warren. So if you're into kind of weird poetry, that's right up your fucking alley. Next, we have Cracked by Connor Goff. It's about this guy who discovers this horrible secret about reality, and reality starts breaking around him, and he has to kind of deal with it, and it's a horror story, so it probably doesn't end well. Once again, I haven't gotten to read all of these yet, so I can't really help you with that. But from what I hear, it's very good and very impressive, and I know Connor's work. I've read his stuff before. I've read his stuff before on my YouTube channel, so I know that he's a good author. So I'm willing to recommend this just based off of what I know of the work of the people that have done it. Like I say, I've read Hell Richard's stuff before. I've read Christopher Warren's stuff before. I've read Connor Goff's stuff before. I've read all of these people before, just not this stuff. But based on what I have read before, I will 100% recommend you guys this stuff. And not just because we get paid because of it. You know, if you go out and buy this, we get a little piece of money. You know, that's not why I'm recommending it to you. Well, okay, yeah, it is. But also, it's good shit. You know, I wouldn't be recommending, you know, bullshit. I say that a lot, and it's fucking true, because I love you guys. So, next up, and not recommending you guys any bullshit, Phoenix on the Sword by Robert E. Howard. We have a very good cover for this one from Kukurio at kukurio.com. And Phoenix on the Sword is the first published Conan story. It, trust me, if you're looking for this in Amazon, you'll recognize our version. You'll recognize our version, trust me. But it's the first published Conan story, and he's already king of Aquilonia, and he's kind of evolved as a person. He's, you know, not an old man, but, you know, he's kind of probably about, I don't know, 35, maybe, something like that, 35, 40. King of Aquilonia, you know, kind of tired, wishing he could be back on the battlefield. And then, you know, these assholes decide that they're going to depose him and kick him off the fucking throne and install a puppet government and shit like that. And they bust up into his room late at night to you know, assassinate him. And it doesn't go as well as they think it should. Very, very good story. That one should be coming out in audio here pretty soon. I recorded the audiobook for that one, and it was tons of fun. I love Robert E. Howard stuff. Love it. So yeah. All right. That's it for the first round of sponsors. I'm going to go get another beer because I'm empty. And I'm going to go get a smoke, and then I'll be right back with you guys in a moment. Okay, now, on with the fucking show here. So, another thing that I wanted to talk about that's been kind of going around lately, and this was kind of kicked off by the guy I mentioned earlier, V. Monroe, who is a Romanian YouTuber. He's also, like, a medical doctor, and he just straight don't give a fuck. He's entertaining as all hell, trust me. Like, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go subscribe to that guy's fucking channel. Very, very entertaining personality over there. But this whole like, too soon. It's too soon to joke about this. Like, I think the guy's name is David Levitt or something like that. He just got absolutely run through the fucking meat grinder on Twitter the past few days. Because he came out with this, on the Conservatarians podcast, they had Kurt Schlichter and another guy. Maybe it wasn't Kurt Schlichter. I'm not sure who the fucking guests were. I'd have to go and get my phone, and it's over there, and I don't want to interfere with the audio quality of the podcast. But yeah, he just got run through the fucking meat grinder for making a joke that was something along the line. I'm paraphrasing here. I might get an actual quote, but it was, bombing in Manchester at an Ariana Grande concert. You know, the last time I listened to Ariana Grande, I almost died too. It's fucking dad humor. It's not even like a funny joke. It's just this stupid fucking joke that he put out there, and he just got absolutely reamed by both sides for. So when is it, like, this is a question that I would actually like to pose. So if you're in the comments on the YouTube video or like VidMe or, you know, on my blog, whatever, let me know. When is too soon? When is it too soon? Like, do we have to wait? Because that's something that everybody always brings up. The bodies aren't even cold yet, and you're making jokes about this. You know, and I can understand, like, while people are still dying. You know, like Kaiju Bushi. Which, if you're not following Kaiju Bushi on Twitter, oh my god, dude, what are you fucking doing with your life? But he brought this up on Twitter the other day. He's like, you know, how much of an asshole, like the day that the bombing happened, he's like, how much of an asshole or a garbage human being do you have to be making jokes about this situation while people are still dying? That I can understand, you know, but I have like some semblance of good taste, you know, not like good taste in clothes or anything like that, but good, like my parents raised me to comport myself with a certain level of decorum. And most of that I have given up, as you can see if you follow me on any level of social media. Most of that I've fucking given up. I do not really care how the vast majority of people perceive me. You know, apparently I'm a fucking Nazi. You know, I wish somebody had told me. I'm still baffled by that one. But that's one of the things that I'm still kind of, you know, kind of mulling over in my head, I guess. So when is too soon? When does it end? When do we say that it's okay to start making jokes about this tragedy that happened? Because, you know, dark, I've defended this before on my YouTube channel and, you know, various other places, but dark humor is how people deal with something. Like, you know, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible what happened in Manchester or cancer or something like this. I remember back when I was first starting YouTube, you know, I was responding to some fucking insane feminist. Because, yeah, I used to be that guy. But they made the point that, like, cancer charities like Save the Tatas and shit like that are disrespectful because you're making fun of people with cancer. And I'm sitting here like, bitch, my mom died of cancer. I make Save the Tatas jokes. I want to save the fucking Tatas. You know? My mom died of breast cancer. These jokes are perfectly fucking okay. You know, it's just people dealing with something emotionally. You know, I can't go and help the people in Manchester. You know, like, I can't form a bucket line to put out the fire from the bomb or anything like that. Or, you know, I can't deliver medical aid. I can't even donate money. I'm too poor to donate money to, you know, help the families of the victims afford funeral services or whatever. So in the wake of a horrible tragedy like that, and being able to do almost literally nothing about it, I have to psychologically deal with the fact that this happened, people are dead, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, and if I went around every day not letting off steam, then I would probably kill myself. Just being absolutely crushed by the weight of all of the horrible shit that's happening in the world and not having an outlet with which to, you know, let this pressure off. So when is too soon? When do you think is too soon, guys? I just don't understand these people who it's like, you know, it's been like my general rule is like 2 days. That's about what I do is like a day and a half, 2 days, somewhere in there. You know, I might start joking a little bit or something like that, but or retweeting or reblogging jokes. But you know, well, while it's going on, that's a no. No. You know, while the families are mourning, that process is not so. If you want to make that the benchmark, you know, while the families are still mourning about the dead, they haven't even dealt with it. It's like, oh, well, okay, I didn't deal with my mom's death from cancer for like 6 years. It took a long fucking time to get over that, and a lot of emotional trauma to get over that. You know, that's not so what, like 8 years after the fact we're allowed to joke about it? You know, does that mean 9/11 jokes are cool now? And I saw a lot of conservative people, this kind of pissed me off, a lot of conservative people who I saw making jokes about all kinds of shit that happened to liberals and leftists and shit, like on the same time scale. Like it was going on and they were fucking on Twitter making jokes about it and shit. And they were like, this is the venom from the left. And I'm saying, you fucking hypocrites. You moral high ground, you high horsing motherfuckers just trying to score internet points. You're acting like you're not as debased as the rest of us. You're not down here with the rest of the peons. The right is on a morally superior scale to the left. No, you're fucking not. No, you're fucking not. You engage in the exact same tactics. You just have a little bit of honor about yourselves. That doesn't give you the right to get your fucking nose up in the air and extend your pinky and, you know, start sniffing your own fucking farts out of a wine glass and act like you're fucking better than these people when you're not. You're literally not. You're making the exact same jokes that these people are. You know, oh, this guy's a reporter for CNN or MSNBC or whatever the fuck it was. ABC, I think. Just cover all my bases. Get all the major ones in there. That way I know I hit it at least with one of them. But, you know, yeah, oh, this guy's a leftist and this is just how the left acts. Motherfucker, this is the exact same shit that the left does. You know, you're picking this one guy and you're saying, this is how these people are. You know, it's cherry picking, and you're just trying to seem morally superior and throw red meat to your base, and it's fucking disgusting. You know, I won't say it's just as bad. It's not just as bad, but it's almost as bad as this guy joking about people while they're dying. You know, it's kind of heartless. You know, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of self-aggrandizing. You know, I don't try to make any pretensions, and I know I'm going to say, oh, I'm morally superior than all these people. I'm not. I'm really not. I admit that I'm a base fucking person. I'm Joe Everyman. I'm just some asshole. I've said plenty of times, I'm just some asshole on the internet. You know, just some dude. You know, nothing I do makes me morally superior, or in my opinion, inferior to anybody else. You know, even somebody like, Mother Teresa. You know, Christopher Hitchens came out with a book detailing exactly all of the negative shit that she's done in her life, and like how some of her shit had horrible implications and consequences, you know. Or Gandhi. Gandhi had all of this fucked up shit going on. Yeah, he was a revolutionary. Yeah, he was a peaceful protester and shit like that. That doesn't mean he wasn't a fucked up person in his regular life. I just admit to being a fucked up person. You know, at least my fucked upness comes in the form of crass jokes, you know, calling people cunts and talking about anime titties on the internet. You know, at least I'm not out here, you know, like decapitating people. I mean, well, there is a scale, you know. I would say I'm morally superior than like the guys in ISIS, or, you know, the guys in the Inquisition or some shit like that. But, you know, so far as people are just like doing shit on the internet, as long as you're not like a pedophile or a rapist or, you know, some morally reprehensible thing that you've done that you're not trying to work back from, you know, that you're not actively trying to find redemption for. There we go. Had a little brain fart. I just burped and my brain shut off. You know, as long as you're not one of those people, we're basically like equal. I don't really consider myself better than you or anything like that. You know, I'm not going to do the Anna Kasparian. I'm fucking better than you. You know, no. Nobody who exists on the internet as much as I do has any right to make that claim to anybody else. I've done my share of fucked up, stupid shit. But, you know, even I have my limits. I won't make, you know, a joke about someone while they're dying. Unless it's, like, to relieve the tension, and like, if I'm sitting with a dying person, and, you know, it's this big, heavy thing, and I know the person's sense of humor and shit like that, I'll make a joke, you know, to try and lighten the tension and shit in the room. But, you know, barring that, you know, somebody dying in a terrorist attack or something like that, I won't joke about that while it's happening. I'll give it a couple of days. Yeah, just a little bit of respect, just a little bit, you know, not enough to actually seem like a decent human being, because frankly, all of the people who go around, like V brought this point up a lot in the past few days, a lot of the people going around claiming to be decent human beings are actually just like reprehensible pieces of shit that want to pretend like they're decent human beings so they can pretend to be better than everybody else and stroke their fucking dicks off with their little cabal of internet friends about how they're so superior to all of these people that they, you know, they moralize at. And, like, the thing that really pissed me off about dude making the joke, like, I don't care that dude made the joke. I really don't. Like, okay, yeah, you're kind of a shitty human being for doing that. You know, you could at least wait a day or a couple of hours. Fuck. But, you know, if you're going to do it, fine, I won't, but that's on you. You're the one who's going to have to answer for that later. But at least own it. At least don't be a fucking pussy about it. That was my big problem with the guy, was that he came out there and he said that thing, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of a piece of shit move. It wasn't even a funny joke. I mean, if you're going to do it, you could at least make the joke funny. And then, like, 5 hours later, he comes out with this fucking retraction, and he's like, sorry to offend, you know, I shouldn't have said that, you know, condolences to families. It's like the most milquetoast thing ever, and I'm just sitting here like, no. You come out here, and you fucking own it. That's how you do this shit. If you're gonna say it, fucking own it. You know, that's why I leave up all of these old blog posts and shit where I've got proven wrong and stuff like that. Just, you know, I don't go back and delete comments on YouTube that I made like years and years ago. You know, I don't, I don't delete blog posts where I was wrong. I just make a blog post, you know, letting people, like with the hard sci-fi thing, you know, turns out I fucked up. Anthony M. wasn't talking about me. According to him, he wasn't. So I just came out with it. I left that one up and I came out with another post and I was just like, all right, look, I'm fucking retarded. You know, please be patient with me. I have autism, which I think I might. I'm really getting worried about that. I might want to take a test. But, you know, when you come out with this milquetoast apology, and you're not, everybody knows that you're not actually sorry for what you did. If you're not actually sorry, then just fucking own it, dude. Like, why put everybody through this rigmarole and why capitulate to these fucking people? These people are just trying to get on their moral high horse against you and, you know, oh, he's such a bad person, but aren't I so good in comparison? No, you're fucking not. Fuck you. And I'm not talking about any, like, specific person here, so if you think I'm calling you out, I'm not. You know, I'm not talking about kaiju or anything like that. Like I say, go follow the guy. But it's all just this big play that people are acting in, and isn't that... don't you people get tired? Like, ever? Don't you get tired of putting this face on and shit? Like, that's why I don't do that shit. It's too difficult to keep up a persona. Like, I put out this fucking weekly podcast. It's gone from being, like, under an hour in, like, a year. It's gone from under an hour to being, like, over 2 hours, usually. And it's way too difficult to come out here and put on a fucking persona and get drunk while I'm talking and then talk about this shit for like 2 hours bare minimum and keep up that persona and then also keep up that persona while I'm shit posting on social media and shit like that. It's way too fucking difficult. Don't you people get tired of trying to pretend that you're better than you actually are? Just take a step back and morally reflect and decide where you're at and don't try to impress people. Like, why? Why would you try to impress people? Like, okay, I can understand a couple of reasons. Like, if you're trying to get a job or something like that, yeah, you want to impress your prospective employer, but, like, some random dickheads on the internet, like, the people who follow you on the internet? Like, I've got fucking... I'm actually, like, a really low follower count on Twitter. How many fucking followers do I have? This isn't to, like, pull my own dick or anything, but... I'm just saying, I got 440 followers on Twitter, and if I tried to tailor my persona, quote unquote, on Twitter to what these people think is, you know, a proper decorum or decor, not decor, decor is shit that you put in your house, proper decorum. That was it. I got it right the first time. If I tried to capitulate to what these people think is proper decorum, then I would never be able to say anything. I would just shut my Twitter account down. I would never be able to speak my mind ever again. So it's really just not worth it to come out here and act like you're so morally superior to this guy when everybody knows you're fucking not, dude. You probably engaged in the exact same tactics that guy has employed in the past. You know, you've probably done the exact same thing that he fucking did. But, oh, this is the venom from the left and shit like that. Like, dude, get off yourself. Like, pull your own dick out of your ass, okay? And just get some fucking perspective here. Like, this isn't indicative of how the left works, all right? This is just one guy being a dick. That's all it was. It was one guy being a dick, you know? And it wasn't even a funny joke. Like, if you're going to criticize him for something, tell him to get better jokes. Or tell him to fucking own that shit. Like, that was my one criticism of the dude, is that he came out here and he gave this fucking milquetoast, lame-ass apology instead of just fucking, like, yeah, I said it, what? Do something, you know? What, are you going to contact my employer? I'll go get another fucking job. You know, I guarantee that the Rebel Media is hiring. They could probably do with some diversity over there. After all, it's all the people on the right that are screaming about, you know, intellectual diversity and diversity of viewpoints, shit like that. Wouldn't the Rebel Media want to hire this guy? Maybe he could get hooked up with Stephen Molyneux's outfit. So I don't know. Like I say, my personal limit is like 2 days after a tragedy. Then I'll start joining in on the japes. But, you know, after that, It's fucking open season. Like, when are you gonna... It's never okay to make fun of a fucking tragedy like this. Well, you know, if it's never okay, then nobody's ever able to blow off steam from this shit, and it's just gonna build and build and build until everybody goes fucking insane. You know, yeah, we need to set, as a culture, we need to set a hard line. Like, not hard like as in legal, but hard like as in, like, a cultural hard line. Like, there used to be a cultural hard line against divorce and everything like that. And, you know, if you got divorced, then that was seen as, like, morally reprehensible and shit like that in the community. That's what we need here for this. You know, we need a community set line for when it's okay to joke about a tragedy. I propose 2 days. Like, for 2 days, we're all out here like, oh, that's so fucking horrible. How could this guy have done this? Where's the information? What do we know? What do we not know? And all of that stuff. And then, like, after, like, 48 hours after it happens, then we're all like, well, yeah, but I mean, can you blame the guy? I mean, it was an Ariana Grande concert. Is it Ariana Grande or Grand? You know, I've thought about blowing up an Ariana Grande concert, you know, shit like that. Just like we have this hard 2 day line as a society, and we punish people that go outside of the 2 day line. But after 2 days, everybody can say whatever the fuck they want. I think that would be fair. I think that would be a good way to arbitrate things. That way everybody gets their little wank session was, oh, this is so horrible. Aren't I such a good person for feeling bad about this and giving my condolences to the family? And then everybody gets their, let's all be fucking ass monkeys about this whole thing. I don't know. I think people are just too sensitive. Honestly, I think that's what it is. Like I say, Kaiju has a point. It's not, you know, like, while it's happening, could you not be a dick, please? But after it's done, it's kind of like, okay, you can be a dick, just not to the people who went through it. You know, don't be adding them and being like, you know, well, he got to it before I did or some shit like that. You know, don't do that shit. That's just part of not being a shit human being. You know, you don't at somebody who's gone through a tragedy and talk shit at them about the tragedy. It's just like, don't be a dick. But, you know, just talking shit on the internet that these people are never going to see. Like, the people in Manchester are probably never going to hear this podcast, ever. If there is anybody out there in Manchester who listens to this and was a victim of the terrorist attack that went down, get in touch. I'll issue a statement or something. I don't know. We'll come to some agreement. I'll tell you I'm sorry, and I'll film a video of me sticking a banana up my ass. Oh, shout out! Several years ago. You young kids on the YouTubes might not know what I'm referencing there, and I'm not going to entertain you. I'm not going to entertain your ignorance and actually tell you. You're going to have to go look that one up. But, you know, if there is anybody out there in Manchester who listens to this podcast, then sure, fuck it, get in touch. I'll apologize to you personally, but I'm still going to be a dick on social media, you know, because, like, none of these people follow me. I don't know them. I don't know any of them. Why does it matter what I say on my social media account when they're never going to fucking see it? And if they do see it, oops, you know, block me. It's been a week, or almost a week. Yeah, almost a week at this point. It was 23rd. It's been like 3 days. It'd be like 4 or 5 by the time this podcast goes up. But, yeah, so it's been a week. Fucking get over it. Like, how long do you expect me to mourn for people that I don't know? Like, I'll have the respectful, like, 2 days, you know, okay, fine, I won't say anything, I won't be a dick. 48 hours is up, time for dick being. Time for being a dick. I'm just running around in circles at this point, so, I don't even know anymore, guys. I really don't even know. I'm gonna drink more beer. So yeah, like I say, let me know in the comment section, wherever you decide to comment on this at, when is too soon? When is too soon? What is your personal rubric? Also, found out something interesting today. I'm older than Image Comics. Did not know that. I was having a conversation with my buddy FNGR over Skype, and he linked me to this video, like, did Image Comics create SJW Marvel? And I haven't watched the thing yet, but I really don't think so. I think the dude's full of shit. Like, the channel that made the video, hey, I think, oh, I don't have it up anymore. Well, I might. There we go. Oh, yeah, here it is. No, shut up with your ads, YouTube. Yeah, it's Diversity and Comics is the name of the channel, and I have never seen this guy before. I mean, the name sounds vaguely familiar, but I do not know who this guy is. But did Image Comics create SJW Marvel? I highly fucking doubt it. Image Comics was cool as shit. Especially back in the day. They just kind of embodied the 90s thing like Image Comics had Rob Liefeld working for him. It doesn't get much more 90s than Rob Liefeld. But you know, and Rob Liefeld, actually, shockingly enough, Rob Liefeld is a very, very competent editor and writer. He's just a shit artist. That's his fucking problem. He has no sense of perspective for some fucking reason. I really don't understand what his problem is with art, because I have friends that have been arting for far less time than Rob Liefeld was in his prime, and they have way better command of anatomy than that guy does. I mean, I still like that style. You know, I went out of my way to collect all of the fucking Wildcats comics, including variant covers. You know, I love that 90s style of artwork. But at the same time, Rob Liefeld drew some funky fucking characters. Like, just go on Google. Right, quick. This is going to be just a fun exercise. Go on Google and look up Rob Liefeld and then go to images. And tell me you're not fucking cracking up. Rob Liefeld is a horrible artist, but he's actually really good when you take him away from the art scene. He's a really good writer. He's a really good editor, and I guess like director. I don't know if comics have directors, but I would have a director for my comic just to make sure that everything flows properly, because it's a visual medium. You know, I don't know. I know nothing about putting comics together. I just really like to read them and collect them. I got a fucking cabinet full of them over there. That just trips me out that I'm older than Image Comics. I thought that company had been around for a lot longer than it was. But, I mean, I was born in, like, 88, so that kind of makes sense. Also, I actually need some advice, guys. Like, this is serious. I went out to Walmart, and I bought another bookshelf, because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 bookshelves, all right? And they were full. Slap fucking full, could not fit another book in them. Well, I mean, I could stack books on top of books, but I really don't like doing that, which is why I need this advice right now. Because I've got books just like stacked on shelves, and like that thing is new. I went out and bought a new bookshelf, and I put it together badly. I think it's actually upside down, as a matter of fact. I don't know how I managed to do that, but I did, and the bookshelf is full now, and I've got it like the way I want it. So not only did I get it backwards, I got a couple of panels backwards, I also managed to set it up upside down. But I'm noticing that one of my fucking shelves is starting to sag, and that's worrying, because this is one of those like $30 IKEA type bookshelves. Oh, that's two. Yeah, at least two of my shelves are starting to sag. So I need some advice. What the fuck do I do with all these books? And no, before anybody comes in there, getting rid of them is not an option. I don't throw away books. But I've got a lot more books that I need to put on shelves, because my mom had a bunch of like Mary Higgins Clark books and shit like that. And they're in boxes right now, and I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with them, guys. Like, I've got books sitting on the shelves that I can stack books on top of books. I've filled those shelves to the brim. There is no more room. On the shelves that I can't do that, I've got books in front of books. So I've got books stood up like in the regular way that you see books, and then I've got books laying on their sides in front of them stacked up. I don't know what to do. Help. Help. Do I go and get another bookcase? Because I don't really have room for it. That was kind of like, I was hoping that would fix it, but like all of my Stephen King books are, you know, just kind of stacked on top of shit haphazardly. You know, it's just, I have too many books for the amount of space that I have. It's like, I mean, I suppose I should consider myself lucky, because I saw Finding Forrester back in the day, which, if you've never seen Finding Forrester, it's an amazing fucking movie. One of Sean Connery's best, in my opinion. It's a drama, just letting you know, he's not James Bonding out or anything like that. It's about this inner city black kid who writes a lot and he reads a lot. He's read a lot of classics and stuff like that. He's severely, more intelligent than the rest of his peers. And he does a lot of fiction writing and things like that. And he winds up breaking into this, you know, this guy's house, who turns out to be Sean Connery. Well, his apartment, cause they call him the Window. And he's like this urban legend and shit like that. This really dangerous guy or a ghost or something like that. And he breaks into his house and, he accidentally leaves his book bag when he gets chased out. So he goes back for it, and it turns out Sean Connery, who plays William Forrester in the movie, is a fictional author. Sean Connery has gone through all of his notebooks and red penned his shit. So he comes back and he's like, "Hey, what the fuck were you writing in my notebooks for?" And he's like, "Well, you need to fix your shit, you know." So Sean Connery kind of takes him under his wing and teaches him how to write. It's a movie for writers and readers and people like that, specifically for writers. This is a good drama for writers. Kind of like how Young Will Hunting is a good drama for people who are really good at math. You know, Finding Forrester is a good drama for people who are really into books and writing and stuff like that. But I looked at the apartment that he had in that movie, and I was like, I want my place to look like that one day. Just books everywhere. I love books. I love the smell of books. I love the feel of books. I love the weight. I love the fact that I could take my copy of The Dark Tower by Stephen King and like throw it out of a fourth story window and fucking kill someone with it. I just love books. It's one of those things that I just collect. I'm a story collector. But at this point in my life, I really don't have like space for all of it, because I could get like a slim bookshelf and put it over there, but that would block that vent. And there's these cabinets in the fucking room, and I could get one of those like small bookshelves that that run along the floor, but I don't know if it would be underneath. I'm gonna have to take some measurements or something. So I don't know. Should I just box them up? Because I don't want to do that. I don't like boxing up books. It feels dirty. It feels disrespectful. So what do you guys think I should do? I don't fucking know at this point. I bought a whole nother bookcase. Help! All right, anyway, I'm about done with this beer. Taking them pretty quick tonight. So I'm going to do another couple of sponsors, go get a cigarette, and then I'm going to come back, and we'll talk about that last thing that I did want to talk about tonight. So next up on the sponsors list, once again, if you want to support me, this is how you fucking do it. Aaron Clary, America's older brother, Captain Capitalism himself. Aaron Clary is an economist who has gotten out of banking and is now self-employed. He is an author and a consultant. He runs a business called Asshole Consulting at assholeconsulting.com. No, I'm not joking. And he will tell you how to unfuck your life. So if your life is fucked up, go talk to Aaron. It's like average price is like $25 for a email response, $35 for a video response. He will tell you what you need to do. So if you're thinking about the military, or if you want to know what major you should go into in college, or if you just have questions about dating or, you know, general life advice, that kind of thing, he can't give you legal advice. Can't do that. But he can tell you how to unfuck your life. Very wise man. He also has several books out there. I've done the audiobooks for 3 of them at this point. The newest one is Poor Richard's Retirement, which is basically a short essay on how to achieve retirement in today's economy. So it's very good. It's nothing. If you've read his other books, then it's nothing new. You basically got it if you've read his other books. But it's still an interesting book. And like I say, I did the audiobook for it. So if you want to hear me read the audiobook, then you can go pick that up. It should be on Audible in a week or two here. He's got Enjoy the Decline, which is another one that I did the audiobook for, and I've recommended to several friends, and I'm recommending it to you all right now. That book has formed a large portion of my personal philosophy with regards to life and finances and, you know, business and all kinds of other stuff. So it's a very good book. I did the audiobook for it. Very happy to get that opportunity. It's my personal favorite of Aaron's books. I also did Reconnaissance Man, which if you are in high school, okay, if you're in high school, you need to go pick up Reconnaissance Man. That book will help you figure out where you need to be in life. Okay, it lays down, you know, what you can get out of college and how much debt you're going to go into to get it, and how to figure that out for yourself. It also goes into different places around the country. Basically, he says that while you're in high school, you should work a part-time job, you should save up your money, and then when you get out of high school, before you go to college, you should take that money that you've been saving up, and you should go on a road trip, pick some areas around America that you think might be interesting to you, and go around and check them out. and see what kind of place you want to live in, and then figure out the job market around that area and whether or not you'll need a degree and whether or not you even want to go to college. That is an option, by the way, just saying. And if you do the proper thing and save money while you're in high school, you don't have to listen to that shit from your parents about you're going to go to college or else. You can say, or else what? And then they'll be like, well, we'll kick you out if you don't go to college. And then you'll be like, bitch, peace. And you can go find a place you like to live and put down fucking roots. So, you know, it's a very good book. I had a lot of fun recording it. Highly recommended. You can also find Aaron Clary at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. And he's got a lot of very interesting reading over there. He even has a magazine out, Captain's Quarterly. I don't know how many he's put out now. If it's quarterly, I think he's missed a couple of quarters there. But anyway, you can go find all of Aaron's stuff, his podcast, his books, his YouTube channel, all of that is at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. So go check Aaron out. He plugs me in his personal podcast every week, and he recommends me as a voice actor or audiobook producer to his writer friends. Very, very grateful to him for that, especially since two writers that he has recommended me to have now gotten in touch with me about doing their books. Very grateful Aaron gets a permanent spot in the podcast for as long as he is out there doing shit. So next we have John E. Boyle. John E. Boyle is an author, and he has a book out that you can find by going to my blog, and it's right in between Aaron Clary's stuff and the Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles. It is called Queen's Heir. It is a fantasy set among the Hittites at the end of the Bronze Age. So it's this niche market. You know, he's covering an era of history that not a lot of people that I know of have touched. Very, very interesting premise, and I have been contracted to do the audiobook, and he's been very understanding about, you know, real life problems and personal health issues getting in the way of recording this audiobook, but it's going to be done here shortly and sent off to him. So once again, thanks again, Mr. Boyle, and it would mean a lot to me if you guys would go and buy the book, and then when it comes out, if you want to, buy the audiobook, because I'm doing a real good job with this one. This one is going to be meticulously taken care of and voice acted, just for the good favor that Mr. Boyle has shown me. So he gets a permanent spot in the sponsor list as well. So you can, once again, find that on my blog. Now, that is an affiliate link, which I'll get to in a second here. But basically what that means is that Amazon gave me a bit of code, and I used it to, I looked up the item on their affiliate website, Queen's Heir, the book, and they gave me a bit of code. So if you click that and you go there and you buy the book, I get a cut of Amazon's profits, not Mr. Boyle's, and it doesn't cost you anything else. I get a cut of Amazon's profits for driving there. So I'm just in full disclosure here. That's what that is. It's an affiliate link, but it should lead directly to the product. And yes, it still does. Just testing it out here. You can get that in paperback or Kindle, soon to be in audiobook. Very soon, especially if I have anything to fucking say about it. Okay, next, we have the Amazon affiliate account. So basically what this means is that I have an account with Amazon where if I drive traffic to their website and the traffic that I drive there actually makes purchases, I get a cut of the profits from Amazon, not from the seller. Doesn't cost you anymore. So if you're going to buy like nose hair trimmers or a hobbyist still to make your own liquor, because they have those on Amazon, or a comic book or a book or whatever, you go through there, you just go to my blog, jimfear138.blogspot.com, and then you scroll down underneath the Dimension Bucket magazine ad and the Laughably Dapper ad, you will see the Amazon affiliate link. Now, you gotta have your ad block turned off, so you might as well just go ahead and whitelist my blog, otherwise this part of the podcast is gonna get real fucking repetitive. But then you will see the Amazon affiliate link, and you just click on that, go to Amazon.com, buy whatever you want. You don't have to buy what's pictured there. It's just a general thing. You don't, like, it's got a Bob Marley, you know, vinyl record, is the one that I clicked on. You don't have to buy the Bob Marley record. You can buy whatever fuck you want. Just click on that and go through, and they will, give me a cut of whatever monies they get from your purchase. Next up, we have mycomicshop.com, which is another affiliate account that I have. So this is the comic spot, guys. I'm telling you, we've been talking a lot about comics these past few weeks. If you're interested in getting in on some comic action, and you should be because comics are fucking awesome. No, I did never grow up. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is absolutely optional. I never grew up and I never fucking intend to. So if you want any kind of comic books, kick-ass comics, you can go through mycomicshop.com. They've got everything. I've looked, guys. They have every fucking thing. I found the Godzilla in Hell comic books, okay? All of them on this website. So what you're going to need to do is you go under, I don't think you have to turn off Adblock, you might, but you'll see underneath the Amazon link, there'll be a Project Wonderful, which I'll get to that in the next roll. Then there'll be new and used comics, buy comic books at mycomicshop.com. You just click on that link. You got to click on the words, not the GIF. The GIF won't take you anywhere. See, I'm clicking on the GIF right now. You got to click on the words. They'll take you to the comic shop, okay? And then you just type in whatever you want in the search bar right there, or just buy some of the stuff that they have up on the first page. And they will give me a cut of their profits. It's not a lot, but it does help to keep the lights on around here. So I would appreciate it if you guys need any comics. You just go to my blog first, click on that link, and then go buy whatever you want. I won't even get mad at you if you buy Marvel and DC. I might hold you in a little bit less regard than I do currently, but I won't get mad at you. Next up, for this part of the sponsor role, we have RightStuffAnime.com. So if you're into anime, manga, Nendoroid figurines, body pillows, music, drama CDs, towels, backpacks, t-shirts, I think they have t-shirts, all of that shit, anything that you need that has anything to do with manga and anime, go through my affiliate link there. All you got to do is click on the picture. I got the picture to fucking work this time, guys. You just click on that picture right there, and it will take you to the front page of Right Stuff Anime. You type in whatever you want, and then you fucking go to town, fam. You just go to fucking town. It's a very, like, all of these services are very good. I would not have gotten affiliate accounts with them if I did not use the service. So, Right Stuff Anime, mycomicshop.com, Amazon, I use these services quite frequently, and they have never disappointed me. Even when they were a little bit late, they always got my shit to me safely and reasonably on time. Like, the only problem that I've had is Right Stuff Anime took, like, a week or two longer to get the Konosuba light novels to me. That was it. Not as good as I expected them to be. But anyway, so it's forgivable. But maybe they were trying to warn me. You know, this is kind of bullshit, Jim. Anyway, it's a very good service. I hope you guys will use it if you need any kind of anime-related stuff. You know, if you want to go get some Kokoro Connect or some Konosuba or some Toradora or some Dragon Ball Z, whatever you want, that's where to go fucking get it. Good stuff right there. Okay, so now with that out of the way, I've got a few sponsors left. Then, you know, I've got another thing that I do want to talk about. So I'm going to go get another cigarette, and then I am going to come back. So be right back, guys. Okay, on with the fucking show here. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is kind of a downer in the news this week. Yeah, this is a hat tip to the Daily Mail. And I know the Daily Mail. But this is also, I did a little bit of, you know, legwork. And this has come up on The Sun and The Mirror. So this is in the UK. Divorcee 40, who was filmed having a threesome with two 14-year-old schoolboys, is jailed for 2.5 years. Beverly Tillier allowed three different boys, all aged 14, to have sex with her. Sex occurred at her home, where they were allowed to drink and take drugs. Oh, we've got a pillar of the community here, guys. Tillier also had sex with one of the boys at his home, Leeds Crown Court heard. The 40-year-old pleaded guilty to three offenses of sexual activity with a child. She pled guilty, fam. So, on with the article here. A 40-year-old woman who was filmed having a threesome with two 14-year-old schoolboys has been jailed for 2.5 years. Let that sink in. Just absorb that. Can you feel the fucking almonds activating yet? If a guy had done this, If a 40-year-old man had had sex with two 14-year-old schoolgirls, he would be in prison for the rest of his fucking life. This woman, 2.5 years. That seems fair. That's fair. Beverly Tillier allowed 3 different boys, all aged 14, to have sex with her at parties held at her home, where they were allowed to drink and take drugs. Leeds Crown Court heard how Tillier also visited the home of one of the teenagers where she had sex with him. Dave McKay, prosecuting, said the offending took place over several months in 2008, when she was in her early 30s and ran a quote-unquote chaotic household. Like I said, real pillar of the community, someone that you absolutely want around kids, fucking pedophile, you know how it runs. Tillier had sex with the first victim on 6 occasions. 6 occasions. Twice with the second victim, and on 1 occasion with the third victim. At least they're calling these boys victims. Thank God. Good on you, Daily Mail. The offending took place at her then home near Pontefract, West Yorkshire, on all but 1 occasion. The youngsters did not make a complaint at the time of the offending. However, the abuse came to light in 2015 when a woman made an allegation to the police. Good on that woman for stepping up. One victim described how the abuse had led to a family breakdown, while another said it had affected his confidence and he feared seeing Tillier. After being arrested, Tillier initially denied carrying out any abuse and claimed she had been raped by the boys. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's just cherry on the fucking cake right there. That's just absolute icing on the red velvet cake. Oh, man. Yeah, she had been raped by these 14-year-olds. That's just... Oh, God. Yeah, that happens outside of fiction. Jesus Christ. But you see, this is what we're talking about, guys. Like, this woman wanted to claim rape to save her reputation. That's what she fucking did it for. She raped these young boys and then claimed that they raped her just so she wouldn't have to deal with bearing the responsibility of her actions. Bearing the consequences. There we go. The consequences of her actions. Just so she wouldn't have to. You know, this is happening more and more often. And it's a very, very disturbing trend. And people wonder why guys are I don't really want to deal with it. You know, walking away. Gone. Out of here. People wonder why MGTOW is a thing. Well, you know, look at this fucking thing. After being arrested, Tillier initially decried carrying out any abuse and claimed she had been raped by the boys. This 40-year-old woman claimed that she had been raped by two 14-year-olds. She was trying to get 14-year-olds sent up for rape. She later pleaded guilty to 3 offenses of sexual activity with a child. Kate Bissett, mitigating, said Tillier suffered from anxiety and a personality disorder. Well, that totally excuses the rape of 3 children. Let's just forgive her. Let's give her government benefits. She said, quote, she was seeking intimacy rather than seeking to exploit them for sexual gratification. A 40-year-old! A 40-year-old was seeking intimacy, gang. A 40-year-old was seeking intimacy from pubescent teenagers. 14-year-olds, guys. A 40-year-old. Intimacy. She was seeking intimacy. She wanted to get intimate and wasn't seeking to exploit them for her sexual gratification. This is the mitigator. Jailing Tillier. Judge James Spencer, QC, said, "You took advantage of those boys when you should have shown a more responsible attitude. Of course they were willing participants, but you were the adult." Yeah, they were willing participants. At 14. Well, I mean, what is it, in Germany? In Germany this would have been okay. Not between, like, a teacher and students or anything like that, but, you know, in Germany the age of consent is fucking 14. But Germans are freaky. And wrong. The adult has to take care of children even when they are 14 and think they know it all. Because of the degree of seriousness here, it does seem to me that there has to be a prison sentence. So you gave her 2.5 years? Fucking spineless coward. Tillier was also told she must go on the sex offenders registry for 10 years. Only 10? Really, only 10. She raped three 14-year-old boys, and she has to go on the sex offender registry for 10 years? Seems a light sentence to me. After the case, Detective Inspector Vanessa Rolfe of the Wakefield District Child Safeguarding Unit said, Tillier took advantage of these impressionable children and committed sexual offenses against all of them in full knowledge that her behavior was both illegal and completely morally wrong. Thank you, Detective Inspector Vanessa Rolfe. You're absolutely right. She should be shot. Quote, we are pleased she has been sentenced today and wish to commend the courage of her victims in disclosing what took place and supporting the prosecution. Tillier will now have to serve a period of time in prison as punishment for her crimes and will also have to sign on the sexual offenders register for 10 years. All victims of sexual offenses in Wakefield can be assured that specially trained officers will always listen and that all reports will be investigated. Unless they're against migrants. Right. The comments are at least encouraging, at least on the Daily Mail thing. You know, a man would have got longer. What's wrong with people these days? Tell you what, I don't know what this world's coming to. Disgusting, horrible, cheap, unbelievable. How much is their house worth? A year and 3 months for what is classed as raping three underage kids. A man would have gotten 5 years at least. Sick in the head, the sentence is a joke. But yeah, like it says in the fucking article here, one victim described how the abuse had led to a family breakdown, while another said it had affected his confidence and he feared seeing Tillier. Like, this shit ruins these young boys. Like, everybody wants to make fucking jokes about, oh yeah, if that had been me when I was in high school, I would have loved to get it on with a, what was she, 39 at the time? Early 30s? Blonde? Probably looked better in those pictures than she does in these. But, she got fish mouth something fierce. But, yeah. It ruins these young boys. Like, after this shit goes down, you know, when you're taken advantage of by someone who's supposed to be a guardian to you, it absolutely plays hell on your mental state. And boys are not immune to this just because guys like fucking sex. Okay, it's a horrible thing to have happen. I can't stand to fucking look at this bitch. it's a horrible thing to have happen when you're that age. You know, it completely ruins you for life. Like Steven Tyler in the lead singer of Aerosmith in one of the autobiographies of Aerosmith. I think it was the unofficial one. I'm not really sure. I'd have to go dig it out. But he relates a story about his first sexual experience was with a prostitute. And it was horrible. Like, he went in and did the thing, and then he, like, fucking broke down and wept about it. Like, he was trying to wash the STDs that he thought he was going to get off in the sink of the house where he fucked her, and he was about to get his ass kicked by these big black guys because they thought he was pissing in their sink. You know, and if you think that Steven Tyler is a well-adjusted person, I've got some news for you, man. I've got some books that you need to go read. He's not. And these boys are not going to be well-adjusted, normally functioning members of society. When something like this happens to a young man, he does not know how to react with it, and he will probably never have normal sexual relationships because nobody cares and they're not going to get them the therapy that they need. I mean, good on the Daily Mail for actually referring to these boys as what they are. They're victims. This woman is a predator. She took advantage of these young boys. She raped them. Let's not sugarcoat this. Let's not pussy pass this. She raped them, and she deserves to go down for life. She raped three 14-year-old boys, and she deserves to go down for life. And the fact that she's only getting a two-and-a-half-year sentence, possibly like that guy in the comments section said, what was it, a year and 3 months, something like that, suspended sentence for good behavior? Yeah, a year and 3 months for what is classed as raping three underage kids. You know, she could probably get her sentence mitigated to that. And then only 10 years on the sex offender registry. She should be on there for life. For fucking life. every neighborhood she goes into to live, she should have to let these people know, I'm a registered sex offender. Keep your kids away from me. By law, I'm not allowed to have them over. It should ruin her. This should be the end of her fucking life. She should never get a job again. This should absolutely be the end of her fucking life. She should never be able to recover from this. Ever. Like, she has destroyed three young boys. Like, the family breakdown, the fucking, you know, the fucking confidence issues, and he's terrified to see her and shit like that. It's fucking disgusting to me that we will allow women to get away with this kind of shit. You know, they're not as responsible for their actions as men. It just keeps, like, this is the kind of shit, right? This sentence right here makes me see the sentence that she got. Not like sentences in series of words, like a criminal sentence that she received, makes me seriously consider the shit that Turd Flinging Monkey talks about. If we're going to legally treat women with less responsibility than men, with less culpability for their actions, maybe we should just go ahead and take their fucking rights away. I mean, like, it's a horrible thing to fucking say, but if we're not going to treat women as the equals of men legally, at least legally, like, I'm not asking for women to be equal representation in firefighters or anything like that, you know, or be equal in the army, or, you know, equal physically, or equal in any kind of, like, CEO positions or anything like that. I don't care about any of that. Well, I mean, I do care. I have strong opinions on those, but, I mean, I'm just asking. I would just be happy with legal equality. Because, like I said, if a guy had done this, like that commenter said, he would have at least gotten 5 years, and he would be on the sex offender registry for the rest of his fucking life. Reverse the genders in that situation. That's the exact outcome you would have. So, obviously, women are being treated as, you know, more important citizens or less legally responsible for their actions. So if they're not going to incur the responsibility that the rest of us, i.e. men, are going to suffer for our actions, maybe they don't deserve the same amount of rights as we have. Just saying, you know, men are required, in America at least, to sign up for the draft before we can vote. Women aren't. Women get the vote just by being born with a vagina and turning 18. That's it. That's not equal responsibility. That's not equal rights. That's not an equal situation. I mean, equality is a joke anyway, but equality under the law is something that I feel needs to be strongly advocated for. Not that we're ever going to fucking achieve it, but, you know, this is the kind of shit that drives me crazy, that makes me consider these out there ideas. You know, why can't we just treat women legally, at least, like we treat men? Why not? Why can't we? We seem incapable as a culture, and I'm not just talking about, like, America or Britain. I'm talking about all over the First World. We just seem incapable of treating women equally to men. They need all these special favors and special bullshit and suspended sentences and, you know, lesser sentences than men. And it's fucking ridiculous. Like, I understand that this would require a complete fucking overhaul in human nature to properly deal with. But it's just retarded to me that we'll allow women to essentially get away with, compared to what a man would get in this situation. It just reverse the genders in that situation and think about what a man would get. She got off fucking light. She might as well not have been punished at all. And I have very strong opinions about what to do with pedophiles. You know, actual pedophiles that have done things. Like, if you haven't done nothing, I mean, you're fucking creepy, don't get involved in child porn, then we have a problem. You know, if you just do it with, like, cartoons and shit like that, fine. You know, get the poison out however you can, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. When you're hurting somebody else, that's when I draw a fucking line. A hard fucking line. I will think you're fucking disgusting and probably a bad person for, you know, wanting to fuck kids. But if you don't fuck kids, I'm not gonna like you. You haven't hurt anybody. You haven't hurt anybody yet. So, until you hurt somebody, you know, don't hurt nobody, is what I'm saying there. But compared to what a man would get in this situation, she might as well not have been punished. you know, 2.5 years, even if she lives out that full sentence, you know, and then spends 10 years after that on the sex offender registry. That's peanuts compared to what a man would get in that situation. A man would be raped to death in prison for that. That frequently happens. You know, I've had conversations with a lot of guys that have gone to prison, and one thing that always comes up in all of these situations is how prisoners hate child molesters. If you go to prison for child molestation and you're a dude, you're not going to survive your sentence. You're not. You're just not. You're going to get your ass beat every day. You're going to get raped a lot. So over and above the legal sentence that male child molesters get, they also suffer reprisals from their fellow criminals. It's almost certain that nothing on that level will happen to this woman while she's in jail. She'll probably live out her sentence, probably get a suspended sentence for good behavior, you know, or a shortened sentence. I'm not sure what the legal term is. And then have to spend 10 years on the sex offender registry. You know, okay, 10 years. It's a long time, but it's not so long. Guy would probably die, either in prison or via vigilante justice once he gets out. I'm sorry to bring the podcast down like that, but this is just something that came up that I saw today that I wanted to fucking talk about, because this is just, it fucking kills me to see shit like this go down. Like, this woman raped 3 children, and that's her sentence? The pussy pass pisses me off so very badly, because women can literally get away with murder. Like, in Canada, I don't know if you guys know this, but in Canada, they're actually trying to make it legal for women to kill their spouses. Yeah. Yeah. You can look that up. You can look that up. That's actually a thing that feminists are trying to push through the Canadian legal system right now. They've been trying to do it for a couple of years. It would mean that if a woman kills her spouse, the presumption will be that she did it in self-defense, which means that any woman living with any man can kill that man whenever she wants and not be punished for it. So, you know, you'll wonder why guys are going MGTOW or going GALT or whatever, you know, not wanting to live with women, not wanting to do all of this shit, not wanting to get married, not wanting to date. Well, there's good reasons. There's very good reasons. And this kind of elucidates why that is. And it may seem like I'm roping, you know, shit into this that doesn't need to be brought into it, but it's all interconnected. Trust me. It's all interconnected. And shit like this is a big reason why guys are really dissatisfied with the legal system right now, and why we are really fucking angry at the differences in the way men and women are treated under the legal system. Just something to think about for the rest of your weekend. And to be clear here, I'm not actually advocating that we do go and take women's rights away or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, my preferred situation here would be that women retain all their rights, and then, you know, they are treated actually as equals. This is not an equal situation. This is not nearly the sentence that this judge, same judge, would have given a man. Not nearly. Mm-mm. You can bank on that. I just want women to be treated equally under the law. Feminists asked for equality. Women supported feminists asking for equality. I want them to have it. I want them to get a taste. Because once they get a taste, once they get a taste of what real equality means, they really don't like it that much. They kind of want to go back to that time when men did all of the hard shit and did everything for them. You know, an easy way to see this is go up to your average feminist woman and ask her, so do you go Dutch on dates with guys? You know, those few feminist women who are actually willing to date men. Ask her if they go Dutch. See how long it takes for them to start justifying why the guy should pay for everything. Women talk a good game about equality, but when it comes down to it, what they want is to be treated special. and we need to stop treating women special, because they're not. There's, what, 7 billion people on the planet? The human race isn't going to die out anytime soon. Women aren't special anymore for their ability to give birth. They're just not. And in a few years here, we might have an artificial womb, and they'll no longer be the bottleneck in reproduction. Money will be, but that's a whole nother discussion. So, women, you can't have it both ways. You can either be treated special and, you know, have fewer rights, or you can be treated equal. Because guys are kind of getting fed up with the game that you're playing. And one of these days, some guy is going to come along that's going to subjugate you. I should say some guys, because it's either going to be the European guys, or the American guys, or the Muslim guys. And you need to think about what you want, where you want to be. Because it's quite obvious that the women in Europe aren't willing to fight off this Muslim invasion that's going on right now. They keep advocating for more and more and more. Do you want the guys that treat you like women are treated in Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Somalia? Or do you want the guys that have given you everything you want for the past 6 decades and have just shouldered the burden of the inequality that that has created? Because I can tell you this, guys like me, who have left, who don't care about your ass anymore, aren't going to step up and defend you. Anyway, that's about it. That's about the end of the podcast right there. Sorry to bring everything down there, but that was just something that really fucking bothered me that I thought needed to be talked about. Whether or not it actually needed to be talked about is anybody's guess. But we'll go through the last round of sponsors here, and then we will cut things off. This one should be a short one. So we have Project Wonderful. If you want to advertise on the blog, then we have Project Wonderful, which basically you go in, you make an account on Project Wonderful as an advertiser, and then you can bid on ad space. I should be under Jim Fear 138 Audio Productions, and you can bid to put ads on my blog for your thing for a day. It's pretty cheap, but it's only for a day. We're not even up to a full dollar on the bids. I keep getting people bidding and then nothing comes of it. Also, they're just saying Project Wonderful is like, they're really bad. Like, there's this picture. It looks like a painting. It looks like somebody's advertising their art. And then I click on it, and it takes me to an Amazon page that's On Seas So Crimson, Usurper's War Collection Number 1, Kindle edition by James Young. It's a book. And I would never have known that this was a book because it doesn't look like a book on the ad. And maybe it's just because I'm the blog owner and I'm looking, also the ad, not owner, but the facilitator for the ad. So, you know, maybe it looks different to me, but it doesn't look like a book. It just looks like a painting of like a ship getting blown up. So, you know, if you want to go through Project Wonderful, that avenue is open, most certainly. But if you would rather a more direct advertising route on the blog, then you can contact me via the contact form on the left-hand side of the blog and get in touch. And it's $20 a month. Now, that's not a lot. And if you don't get your $20 back by the end of the month, then we don't have to continue it. But that includes a spot in the advertiser role on my podcast. That includes one of these ads that you see on the side of the blog right there. And because I'll probably put you on the right here, right above. So where Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles number 6 Insurrection is, you'll be right there, and I'll just bump everything down. Put an advertisement up there for your thing. It also comes with an advertisement in the podcast and plugs on my social media accounts. So Twitter, Tumblr, Gab, Minds, VidMe, YouTube, and yeah, all the social media accounts that I have. I will be putting out a video on VidMe and YouTube and all of that stuff because you paid me. So if you want to advertise on the blog directly for a straight month, get in touch. It's not expensive. And it'll be like a month from that date. So if you get in touch with me on like the 3rd or the 14th or something, then it'll go to the 3rd or the 14th of the next month. Next up, we have the Bandcamp. So there's some old narrations on the Bandcamp that I've curated. I have my 2014 Halloween countdown that's up there. Some of those files I had to cut into smaller files. There's some two parts up there. I also have my recording of The Egg by Andy Weir. And I have a bunch of Holders stories that I recorded for a cancer charity that did not go anywhere. We didn't even take any money for it, but I had all of these, you know, it fell through due to mismanagement, and I had all of these recordings just sitting around, so I figured, fuck it, I might as well put them somewhere. So I put them on the Bandcamp, and that's the only place that they've been released. So if you're a completionist, you want to get all of my work, you can get those that have been released nowhere else. I actually don't think I have those files anymore, so that's kind of the only place that you can get them now. But yeah, they're not expensive. The albums are like $5 each. The recording of The Egg is like $1. So it's not expensive. It's not really great quality, just warning you now, but it's there if you want it. Next, we have audio commissions. If you have a thing that you want me to read, I will read your thing. Whether it be a novel or a, you know, novelette, a short story, some funny crap that you found on 4chan, I will read it for you. You just gotta pay me. It is a paid service, and I'm still working out pricing for under a certain amount. Like, I think if the word count put through my calculus adds up to under $5, it's gonna be $5. But, you know, just to compensate me for my time recording, and because this process is a lot more involved than people realize. But that's what it'll be. Just get in touch and we will work something out depending on what you want me to read. My pricing is fair, and it's also cheaper than most other people that, you know, you will find out on the internet. So, yeah, get in touch. There is a line. There is a line, just saying. I got Mr. Boyle. I got Alexander over at Kirsova. I got John Mollison, his book Sudden Rescue he wants me to read. Justin Knight is supposed to be getting in touch with me. And those two authors, Alexi, I want to say, is the guy's first name, who did the Glimmervale books, and Frank Servi, who, okay, is it Frank? Nick Servi? Frank Servi? Something. Some damn thing. Frank Servi. It was Frank Servi, who wrote Uncle Nick and books like that. He has gotten in touch with me about doing his stuff. So you're essentially, if you hire me through the flat rate, you're essentially hiring Dimension Bucket Media. So that comes with a spot in our store. It comes with an original audio track for the beginning and ending credits, should you so desire one. Music track. It comes with promotion on our blogs and social media when it actually does come out. And you retain full rights to the files, and we don't get to do anything with it unless you want us to put together promotional materials, in which case we can hook you up with that. So just get in touch via the contact form if you're interested in hiring. Prices vary depending on the word count of the thing, but I am also open to royalty work via ACX, the Audiobook Creation Exchange. So if you can't afford our flat rate and you don't want any of the, you don't care about having any of the bells and whistles and shit on your book, like the music or you know, Christopher Warren's audio mastering, he's our audio engineer, then just get in touch. We can work out something through ACX, but like I say, there is a line. There is a steadily growing line, which, by the way, thanks, Aaron, for telling these people about me. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to have to get him like a nice turkey for Christmas or something for boosting my business. But all right, that's it. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening. Sorry for bringing you down there for the last one. But like I say, I could not deal with that bullshit. I just had to fucking rant about it. All right. Well, I will catch you guys next week. And hopefully in the intervening days, I will have a couple of posts ready to go. I still want to get my Toradora thing revised and stuff like that. But there's a lot of shit going on around the house. And I have a lot of recording to do. So we'll see what will happen. But thank you guys very much for listening. Catch you all next week. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. Take care of yourselves. And peace out.